The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Every morning is a new opportunity to take in the news of the day and the challenges of life and try to make sense of it all. Right now, we've got a show that tackles the topics and asks what you think. So get ready to start your day with a bold look at history as it happens. Let's learn, live, and sometimes laugh together. It's the Mark Davis Show on 660 AM, The Answer.
And a good morning on this Tuesday morning, the second day of August 2022. Well, rest in pieces. Get it? That was all over social media upon the death of Ayman al-Zawahiri, one less terrorist breathing the air. That is a wonderful, wonderful thing. It is a great day for America. Biden happens to be president, so it certainly falls to his, it accrues to his benefit as well. But as yesterday unfolded, as the afternoon unfolded, and there was advance word of the death of al-Zawahiri, and that President Biden would read from some cards at 6:30 our time, which he did, it then opened up this fascinating internal dialogue, at least for me. I'll try to make it a fascinating external dialogue as to what did everybody want me to feel? I've heard from some circles, even some, you know, Republican circles, like, it's really important that we give Biden credit for this. Well, okay, sure. But don't get me started. Well, actually, the whole idea is to get me started, which I will do here in just a second. Let me give you a thumbnail of a couple of other things. Let's go from a global story right down here to our local Texas communities. It's a million degrees again today. You know how that's going here in the summer of 22. And you remember a couple of weeks ago, I just took a moment of show and said, okay, this is what it is. Here's July. Here comes August. And at some point right after the first of the year, we're going to have our kids out on football fields practicing, on blacktop parking lots practicing band. Now, the band kids frequently are out at like 7, if not 6 in the morning, God bless them and their parents. But, gosh, who had something out? I think it was, Nolan Catholic in Fort Worth had their had the football team out at 1 o'clock in the afternoon, 97 degrees, expected to go to about 102. And it's like, hey, we got big tubs of cold water. Well, okay. And a heat policy. Okay. Well, it's Texas. It's high school football. It's a religion. Real games are mere weeks away. You got to practice, right? So I think after we spend a little time on the dead terrorist, we'll take a look at trying to avoid a body count at high school football practice. It's always hot. This is forever. It's ever. But usually the kids are out practicing in the afternoon, and maybe it's 94, 95. 104 is quite a different matter, I think, and so I'll present that quandary to you a little later on. Here's another quandary. Does a city have a right to enforce certain laws as conscientiously or as dismissively as it wishes? The short answer is probably yes. If you and I run a city, we can decide to go, you know, just pedal to the metal on drug laws or speeding or, you know, gang activity. Or there are some things where we can just kind of decide to turn a blind eye. It's like, do-de-do-de-do-de-do. And that's not my favorite thing. And I think that smacks of lawlessness. but it seems like a judgment call city officials, district attorneys can do, and we're free to either like it or not like it and elect better district attorneys and such. Well, to the surprise of no one, City of Dallas is now working its way toward doing what Denton and Austin have already done, and that's essentially saying, abortion enforcement, we don't care. We don't care. And they have the sense of ghoulish irony to call such things the Grace Act. Is that an acronym for something? I can hardly imagine. But basically, it enters the city council committee stage in the city of Dallas this week. It would essentially prevent city resources from investigating abortion crimes. And that's special. So what can be done about that? You know, I wonder if about time for a little Ken Paxton appearance on the show, I think, Rhonda. Let's try to secure the AG. It's been a couple of weeks. And see what his thoughts are on various Dallas scofflaw cities. I wonder how people would feel if a city decided, hate crimes, don't care. Or, drug crimes, don't care. Half of you would love that. Maybe not half of you, half of Dallas. The discretion afforded to a city to enforce things the way city leaders want, as Dallas essentially plugs into to post Roe v. Wade America by essentially saying we're going to ignore the law as much as we can get away with, and turn a blind eye as people flout. Not flaunt, flout, the new legal structure that seeks to protect the unborn. The Grace Act. Ugh. All right, so a lot of things on the plate. Before we dive into any of them any deeper, Lord, guide us and protect us as we face the challenges of this new day. We thank you every day for this blessed nation and for your hand in creating it. Please fill our hearts with the energy to protect the freedoms which come from you, which our nation was founded to protect. Let us navigate these troubling times with a positive spirit, treating others as we would want to be treated. Lord, these are times of trial and challenge. Lift us as we follow your word and work for a better America, where our Constitution is honored, where our schools are safe, where our elections are reliable, where our borders work, where we protect the unborn, where we fight for the meaning and the intent of the two genders you created, and where our differences are hashed out with honesty and goodwill, and our freedoms of speech and worship are protected. As we face each day's problems, give us the clarity to look around and cherish our many blessings in our nation, our great state of Texas, our communities, and our families. If we follow you, Lord, we know we can get through anything. And we ask these things in your holy name. Amen. On the point of reliable elections, hope they are reliable across five states of primaries today. We're T-minus 2 weeks to the all-important day in Wyoming, where Liz Cheney, God willing, will be shown the door back to private life. Did you catch her tweet yesterday? A pretty famous person wearing a T-shirt that says, "I support Liz Cheney." And Liz's accompanying comment was, "Real men put country over party." And please understand, country over party is the sickening code language that the Trump hatred cult has always used to suggest that those of us who, you know, heaven forbid, supported the Trump agenda or support him in any way, are somehow slavishly devoted to party over the country's interests? I mean, that's never made sense. Find me 100 Trump supporters, and down to the last man and woman, the reason they love him, the reason they support him, is because they love this country, recognize that he does too, and felt that his presidency made it better. The person in the picture wearing the Liz Cheney T-shirt on the set of Yellowstone, that would be Kevin Costner. Whatever. So, yeah. I mean, Costner is not a stone-cold Hollywood lib, but he ain't no conservative either, so it's not really a shocker to discover a Costner crush on Liz Cheney. The new season, is this season 5? Yellowstone is, by the way, one of the best television things in the last 10 years, if not more. It's simply superb. Yellowstone's turn as Montana rancher John Dutton and the amazing cast around him, it's as good as TV gets. The new season debuts on November 13th. So that'll be 5 days after Liz Cheney is suddenly given all kinds of free time to watch it. So there's that. But hey, that's 2 weeks from now. Today, among the states doing primaries is Missouri, where you have a big Senate, a Republican Senate primary. This is to replace the retiring Roy Blunt. And Eric Greitens and Eric Schmidt are running, and both have conservative constituencies. And so Donald Trump, in an interesting sort of wink and a nudge troll, came out yesterday and said, "Hey, I endorse Eric." Okay. Which one? Get it? Well, he didn't want to tell you or left you the latitude to support whichever one you wanted. I'm a Schmidt guy. I would be a Greitens guy if he were not a possible psychotic domestic abuser. So that's a little disqualifier for me. So there's that. We'll see what the good people of Missouri do. Well, let's go from good people to bad people. They don't get much worse than Ayman al-Zawahiri. Let's take our pause. We'll come back. We'll see Joe Biden on the balcony attempting to read the cards about having taken al-Zawahiri out. And then I'll take you on my personal journey, and maybe you had one yesterday, of sort of how to feel about this. Because it's two things can be true at the same time. That, of course, I'm grateful to everyone who had anything to do with taking this monstrous terrorist out. From the rank and file military people who did it, from the intelligence experts who formulated it, to the president who obviously had to give the green light to do it. So he was okay with this one. Didn't favor taking out bin Laden. Maybe he got smarter in at least that regard. But then as soon as that happened, because, of course, there were all these narratives like, oh, this is Biden's moment. Oh, this will turn everything around for him. Yeah. No, it won't. And I'll tell you why in a minute. Mark Davis, 719.
No one knows who she is or what her name is.
I hope Nick Gilder invested well.
I don't know where she came from or what her game is.
On our summer playlist for this year.
Hot Child in the City.
Hot Child in the City.
Hot Child.
All the children in the city are hot. All the children in the country are hot. Hot Teenager on a Football Field was a follow-up to this project. Yeah, we're trying to keep our children. And a 17-year-old football player is not a child, but he's your child, right? He's your child. Paraphrasing Mel Gibson in The Patriot. You're not a child, but you're forever my child. So we'll get to that here in a bit today. It says, what do you want? I mean, when it gets to be 105, do you just call afternoons of football practice? Do you get the football players out there at 6, 7 o'clock in the morning like we do the band kids? All right, so that lies ahead. Here's President Biden yesterday, 6:30, out on the balcony in the monuments of Washington in the background, and it's lovely, and this moment is great. It is great for the country, and yes, it's great for him. And so just a second of this, and then the sort of the psychological gamesmanship that kicked in almost as soon as he was finished attempting to read the prompter.
People around the world no longer need to fear the vicious and determined killer. The United States continues to demonstrate our resolve and our capacity to defend the American people against those who seek to do us harm. You know, we make it clear again tonight that no matter how long it takes, no matter where you hide, if you are a threat to our people, the United States will find you and take you out. This operation is a clear demonstration that we will We can, and we'll always make good on the solemn pledge. My administration will continue to vigilantly monitor and address threats from Al-Qaeda, no matter where they emanate from. As Commander-in-Chief, it is my solemn responsibility to make America safe in a dangerous world. The United States did not seek this war against terror. It came to us, and we answered with the same principles and resolve that have shaped us for generation upon generation, to protect the innocent, defend liberty, and we keep the light of freedom burning, a beacon for the rest of the entire world.
Okay. So, nice words written by somebody, delivered dutifully by the president. And then along came these gushes of obligation, it seemed. And I, first of all, I understand, I mean, the most important thing is we have a dead terrorist kingpin, and that's awesome. That is great. Nobody wants to take anything away from that. And I guess, you know, if it is during a presidency that is by somebody who's been serious about fighting jihadism, I mean, that would be one thing. Is the bar set so low that for Biden to actually green light a hit on a drone strike on a terrorist kingpin who's offered up on a platter by American military intelligence doing a superb job of finding him in Afghanistan? What exactly is he doing in Afghanistan? That takes us back. But anyway, is the bar set so low that we're supposed to turn 43 cartwheels because Biden green-lit it? My dog would have green-lit this. Get him. I was having these thoughts, and then it was like, oh, you know, can't you just give him credit? Okay, I'll give him credit. Hooray. Yes, I'm really glad that Joe Biden did not wave off the attack on Zawahiri. I am so grateful. I'm so happy. Hip, hip, hooray, for he's a jolly good fellow. Do you feel safer? Is this significant against some large backdrop of this administration or the Democrat Party being serious about fighting jihadism today or ever? No, it's still him. This is not a turning point for the presidency. It's a lovely moment. It's great. I take nothing away from this moment. But doggone it, as I enjoy this day of gratitude for everybody. First of all, my gratitude is eternal for the people who are on the job every day. Our military, our intelligence, our people who actually found al-Zawahiri. For the president who actually let it happen, yes. Thank you, sir. Thanks so very, very much. So amid this day of gratitude for Biden actually allowing a hit on a terrorist, you know what I'm waiting for? You know what I'm eager for? You know what I can't wait for? A president whom I can thank every day for paying attention every day to some other evils. The evil of gender obliteration, the evil of abortion, the evil of child sexualization, the evil of open borders, the evil of lawless streets, the evil of race baiting. I yearn for a president whom I can thank every day for paying attention to those evils, all the evils. This does not become that presidency just because of one day where they said, Mr. President, we got al-Zawahiri, you know, we can take him out, should we?
Yeah.
Great. Real glad. Thanks. Appreciate it. And I do appreciate it. Whew, context, context, context. It's still him. It is still the worst presidency of my lifetime. 7:31. Let's get into the newsroom. And hey. Mike Gallagher is back. We'll see what's on his mind right after we check in with Gordon in the newsroom. Mark Davis, 7:31. Here's Gordon. Well, you would say the biggest gift would be for me and the car. Our friend is back. Thank you for being a friend. I would have done this anyway.
Thank you, dear friend.
Thank you. No, thank you.
No, thank
you. No, no, really, really. How can you thank me when I'm thanking you?
Where's Blanche? Where's you got to find
Which golden girl would you be? I know I'd be Dorothy.
I'd totally be the old lady. You know, I'd be Estelle Getty. But you know, do you know she was younger than all the other women?
Yes, isn't that the... Oh, no, she wasn't younger than Rue McClanahan.
Oh, she wasn't?
Oh, I don't think so.
I always thought she was the youngest
I'll check. While you're talking about something, I'll check.
Like makeup and all that
but
stuff.
But here's the deal. Kinda... That, of course, the actual theme of Golden Girls was sung by a woman named Cynthia Fee, but it was the work of that guy right there, Andrew Gold, who had a hit with it in 1978. He would have been 71 today, passed away like 10 years ago, but Andrew Gold was great, played in all the Linda Ronstadt bands of the 1970s.
Yeah, yeah.
So happy birthday to Andrew Gold. So what got a hold of you for a day?
Oh, got a little stomach bug thing. And, of course, you know me, Mr. Hypochondriac, 19 COVID tests. I figured, I think this is stomach, but I don't know. I mean, are there any monkeypox tests yet? I mean,
several states have declared monkeypox an asteroid hurtling toward the Earth emergency. Now, I don't want to underplay the stupid monkeypox, which I guess I just did. I mean, any health thing is a health thing. But whoa, what's
I know,
what's
but everybody's
going on
just,
there?
We're all on this heightened sense of awareness now. I guess if there's any upside, it's to the monkeypox, you know, challenge. It's that everybody's now washing hands and trying to be careful and trying to be cautious. So it is weird when you feel under the weather, you just go to that list of, you know, oh my gosh, do I have COVID? Do I do the test? And it was just this stomach thing. But I'm watching the news. I'm in bed last night, just thinking, what weird world are we in? So a couple of my appointment viewing prime time is Fox News. Mm-hmm. So there's Tucker condemning Nancy Pelosi visiting Taiwan. Mm-hmm. Saying that the reason for it, now here's Tucker's theory, and you know me, I'm a Tucker guy.
Well, I am too, but every once in a while. Mm.
Well, last night he claimed that the whole purpose of Pelosi's trip is so Biden can destroy the U.S. and invite China to invade Taiwan. Hmm. And we're going to go to World War III with China. I know it was a little bit tricky to
there's a Tucker vibe there, and I do love him too. Because what did he also have a Ukraine rant last night?
Yep.
Because
just doesn't think he's a nationalist. Well, you know, I mean, I guess
that might be
guy.
It. Because the whole thing is, no matter what we do, if something that we do annoys a foreign power, it's our fault, I guess, because we meddled or something. He still blames us for toying with the notion of Ukraine in NATO. Like that. Listen, if we want Ukraine in NATO, we should say we want Ukraine in NATO. If we don't, we don't. But if we say we do and Russia invades, that doesn't make it our fault.
Well,
let's go to China. If we back the Taiwanese independence, which Biden does not, but some members of Congress do, maybe even Pelosi, who may be right on this one thing, and if we make an outreach to China or an outreach to Taiwan, excuse me, and China doesn't like it, and they do something bad, that doesn't make that our fault either. So,
I mean, here's John Kirby yesterday.
Oh, I know.
On record,
yep.
We don't support Taiwan independence. So you're right. Biden doesn't. The Biden administration's official position is that we don't want a free and fair process to be applied to the Taiwanese. They should be under the jackboot of the communist Chinese dictatorship.
Yep.
And I don't recognize. I guess I mean I know there's all these. We got to thread the needle. And let me just say something that is going to probably tick off more than half the audience. But listen, they took out al-Zawahiri. Mm-hmm. And you know what? He was running al-Qaeda. He was one of the last, if not the last, plotters and schemers of 9/11. It took 21 years, but they got him. I'm with you. Your sentiment on Twitter is perfect. I'm not doing backflips over Biden okaying it. But he gets credit for it.
Yes,
it happened
fine.
On his watch.
Sure.
You know, I mean, it's not the end. I mean, are we going to have a ticker tape parade? No. And, you know, again, Tucker touched on that last night as well, saying, well, do you feel any safer? No, you don't. You don't. You know, I think sometimes partisanship gets in the way of just some common sense. I remember when we took out bin Laden. And there were people that were, Obama doesn't deserve any credit for this whatsoever. Yes, he does.
Sure he did.
Of course he did. Mm-hmm. Now, again, you don't do backflips because you know, even a blind squirrel, you know, finds a nut once a week. I mean, they got it right, but let's not pretend that they didn't get it right. They did get it right. And there's nothing, I'm glad they took out the bad guy. And listen, political. I delighted at the CNN reporter who went to Wyoming and got an earful over Liz Cheney, but make no mistake, and I don't know how much stock you put into Nate Silver, but you know, 538, hey, they're saying the Democrats are going to keep the Senate. And for the first time ever, they break it down state by state.
Well,
I'm just, and I do don't, we,
do we have,
knows?
do we have Dr. Oz problems in Pennsylvania? Do we have Herschel Dr. Walker Oz problems in Georgia? I mean, I don't know. I'd like to think not. I'd like to think not. Okay, let's stipulate that Herschel is not William F. Buckley. Okay, having covered that, he is, however, right on the issues. I don't need a silver-tongued orator for everything. If I want that, there's Obama. You know, I want somebody who's right on the issues, and Herschel is
narrative.
Great on the issues.
And beware of the narrative that, well, the Republicans just ran lousy candidates this time. No, they didn't. I mean, could there have been stronger candidates? Who knows? Today's going to be a big test, of course. We got Arizona.
Yep.
We got Michigan. We're gonna, and
Missouri.
And Missouri, I mean, and Trump is poised to have another big night because his endorsed candidates are expected to do well. But
yeah, if either Eric wins in Missouri, it's a Trump endorsement.
right. Either
that
Eric.
Was weird.
He's checked both boxes. Eric, yep. We want Eric to win, and both Eric's taking credit. But Nate Silver, he's been wrong a lot. So, you know, but keep this on your radar, America. 538 right now is for favoring Catherine Cortez Masto in Nevada to keep her seat. The race in Georgia between Raphael Warnock and Herschel Walker is a 50-50 proposition, according to their model.
I believe that.
In Pennsylvania, though, they say the lieutenant governor, John Fetterman, beats Oz, not even close.
Which he might do. I don't know. But Fetterman can't even.
So here's the argument. That would be a
Fetterman,
pickup for the Democrats.
Is Fetterman even well? Is he okay? I mean, this guy has huge health problems. Now, the thing about Dr. Oz is that he's lazy. He ain't that conservative. He doesn't have a lot of passion, you know, in the grassroots ranks. You know, and he's a carpetbagger from New Jersey. So I don't know how many people care about that.
Nothing
so much.
For granted. That's all.
I know.
Just take nothing for granted. And I mean that to our listeners that think, well, this is a shoe-in. It's not a shoe-in. It's not a foregone conclusion. And here's their model, just for final put a button on this. The Democrats, according to Nate Silver, the Democrats can still lose Georgia. Herschel Walker wins there, and they can still keep the majority as long as they win Pennsylvania.
Yes, they can. Now, out of Georgia, so I'm looking at, so Herschel has a wonderful post yesterday, and I tweeted it, where he says, a lot of people are asking me how I should feel about the guy on MSNBC who called me the N-word. And I said, whoa, did I miss something?
No, I didn't call him the N-word. Go to the Negro.
Maybe that's the N-word now, too. Elie Mystal, this strange, almost young Don King-looking guy with steeple-esque hair, is on MSNBC every once in a while and said that Herschel Walker, in a total insult that they love to issue to any black conservative, said that Herschel Walker he embodies what Republicans want from their Negroes, okay, which is incredibly insulting and incredibly demeaning toward Herschel. And Herschel had this very gracious post that says, listen, I'm not worried about that. This is a good country. Sure, we've got some problems, but I'm not going to let people tear us apart and blah, 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 blah. But they are ultimately terrified of the black conservative, terrified of the Hispanic conservative. So isn't Myra Flores on a bad day more compelling and smarter than AOC on her best?
But back to black conservatives, I screened, and I was supposed to interview Larry.
Uncle Tom, too.
I screened Uncle Tom, too, and wow.
I've seen the previews. There's a lot of Ben Carson in there. There's a lot of all the folks we love.
Larry isn't in it a lot. The guy who's fascinating is the black business owner, Chad, I think is his name, Chad Jackson, perhaps, but he said, I'm done with the Democrats.
Yep,
he's
Chad Jackson.
I think he's a plumber. Mm-hmm. Is it Chad Jackson?
I think he can't. Was he in the first one or part of the first one?
He was.
I feel like he was, but
he's the star of this one. He narrates. He's such a smart guy, but let me talk about some sacred cows.
Yes.
So I'm, you know, hey, maybe spoiler alert. I mean, this is not out yet. The movie, you can pre-order it at salemnow.com. And again, I'm so sick about missing Larry because he was scheduled yesterday. I hope Derek is working on getting him rescheduled maybe today or tomorrow so I can talk to the driving force behind Uncle Tom, too. Here are the sacred cows tipped over. Ready?
Mm-hmm.
Civil rights movement wasn't what you think it was. It wasn't. It led to the destruction of the family. It fatherlessness. It tips over the civil rights movement. Martin Luther King, not so fond of Dr. King, of Reverend King in this movie. I mean, it is fascinating how. And this is told by black conservatives through the eyes of some really smart people. Now, here's one of the challenges.
Damn.
I saw a screener that didn't yet have the chyrons added,
right?
Which means I couldn't. Some of the people that were talking, I don't yet know who they are,
right?
But there was one guy; he was talking a lot. I don't know if he's a preacher. He's a beard, real amazing guy, real smart, super smart, and it just tips over all the sacred cows of race relations in America. And wow, if you thought Uncle Tom was provocative, the first movie that Larry did,
this time it's personal.
Oh, it was hold my beer. We're gonna
Uncle
we're gonna
Tom
really,
too. We're back.
It's a fascinating movie. And you know what's also interesting? I'm fascinated by the. It's a great movie about talking about the history of Marxism.
Mm-hmm.
Why today's AOC, breed is so. Infatuated with Karl Marx and with Marxism and socialism and even communism. It's really fascinating. So I urge everybody listening, go to salemnow.com and pre-order Uncle Tom 2. It will it'll blow your mind. I mean, I'm sure it's going to be incredibly provocative. Speaking of blowing your mind, how about the image of Donald Trump, Tucker Carlson, and Marjorie Taylor Greene
at the Live
on
golf
a balcony,
tournament.
Yeah, at the Live golf tournament as the crowd is chanting "Let's go, Brandon." You think that made some heads explode?
Oh, that's so awesome! That is so incredibly
and
awesome.
And then somebody from the New York Times gave an interview. Now we know Tucker Carlson speaks differently of Donald Trump in private than he does in per. Oh, come on! I mean, But man, oh man, we are in some strange, strange times, my friend.
That we are, but we can navigate those times with so much more comfort because you are back.
We are back in the house. Many thanks to Joey Hudson, who on about 10 minutes notice popped in and did the show. Poor guy. I mean, he said he works from home in South Carolina, and about 10 till 10, I'm like, Joey, I don't think I can pull this off. I am sick. I don't feel good.
To your benefit, because I got about 8 minutes of notice that there was going to be no 7:35 yesterday, because I think you were just trying to take it down to the very, very last and
just try.
But ultimately, it just was not happening. So that's
the
work ethic.
But Joey was ready. He says, I didn't even take a shower. I had to wear a baseball cap. I said, I mean, this doggone video stuff has screwed all of us up. Gone are the days we could sit in our T-shirt and our bathrobes and do radio shows. But SalemNewsChannel.com. All right. Well, happy Tuesday. Great to be back in the house. Second day of August.
It is Mike Gallagher. He is here and ready to roll at 10 soon as we are done. Right here on 660 AM The Answer.
Half of the time I'm lonely. Half of the time I'm blue.
Our old-time exit ramp tune. But I'm actually going to hit a call here in just a moment.
Half of the time I'm crying. I don't know what to do.
Some of the 50s rockabilly of the great Hank Cochran. And half of the time, Hank Cochran, born this date, 1935. Ready, 866-660-5759. We are in Flower Mound. Cheryl, Mark Davis, welcome. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Hey, great.
Great. So you want me to... I just wanted to bring up that yesterday... There's a bakery in Flower Mound. Can I say the name?
Sure.
High Bakery. And they're well known for their liberal views and LBJT pro stuff and pro-abortion stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But recently they made a post that they had fired a hard worker that was a great baker because of her conservative views. And it was very, very upsetting to me. And I feel as an American, this woman has a right to run her business how she wants. and she can hire and view her opinion, and that's her right.
Yep.
But I don't feel like she has a right to fire somebody because they don't believe the same thing she does.
And well, so it gets to I've seen the post, and I'm familiar with the bakery, even though I've never been in it. And there's nothing out front that telegraph. You say it's well known. I mean, I drive by it every day, and I didn't know diddly about Hive Bakery. Maybe if you go in, I mean, their Instagram post is filled with all kinds of, you know, rainbow festooned LGBTQ cakes. Fine. So the post says that, is this a man or a woman? I don't know who the owner is. She hired a new baker, hardworking young adult with a promising future. And within a week of starting, I fired them. Apparently the new hire comes into an obviously LGBTQ friendly bakery and started spouting contrarian views. Now, is that smart? I mean, and she gives examples of stuff that the employee spouted, that homophobia isn't real, transgender people aren't real, et cetera, et cetera. I mean, how big of a genius do you have to be to walk into a place and be aware of its political vibe and then urinate all over that political vibe? So you can choose whether or not you want to go to Hive Bakery, which is a clearly liberal LGBTQ bakery. But if one is hired by a place.
Let me play devil's advocate. This is only this Hive Bakery's woman's opinion. What happens if this woman needed a job or man needed a job, took a job and just was telling her things like, well, you know, I believe there's only one sex, a man and a woman. And I think, you know, well, I have the belief that,
I know,
you know, and then she fired her.
Time's incredibly short. Let's try a 60-second consistency test. Let's say we've got a big patriotic bakery or a patriotic sign shop or whatever, and they're just making all kinds of stuff. And maybe it's just God Bless America, or maybe it's Trump-loving MAGA stuff or whatever. But that's clearly their vibe, is red, white, and blue, you know, motherhood, apple pie kind of bakery or sign shop. And they hire somebody who makes it clear that they're an AOC-loving socialist, Black Lives Matter, critical race theory, and they're real mouthy about it. Is that a good hire? Is that somebody where you might have the owner go, you know, God bless you, but I just don't think this is going to work? What would you think about that?
That's a good question.
Yeah.
It's a very good question. It depends on the degree of mouthiness and if you can actually have a discussion with somebody and agree to disagree, but still work together.
I think that is a superb answer. If somebody really just is just wearing a sandwich board, figuratively or literally, and just really just being edgy in the workplace, then that's just stupid. If, however, it's somebody who just feels differently than the employer's vibe and is able to still fit in harmoniously with the workplace, that seems like a hire that should work. It doesn't sound like that happened at the Hive Bakery. All right, 7:59, Mark Davis, 6:60 a.m., the answer.
3-star General Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.